This is my season for grace and for favor. Anybody believes that, say amen. I want everybody to stand. We need to show love and appreciation. Let's celebrate our dancers. Come on now. Come on, put your hands together and give the Lord praise for our dancers. It's not about performance, it's about ministry. What a special day. This is the final Sunday of March 2017. And I don't know about you, but for me, God has been good. Or do I have a witness here? And we are going to project this theme into the month of April, Amazing Grace. When we think about the fact that we should have been dead, some of us here should have been locked up in prison for the things we've done and said. No, I know you're cute and you've done everything right, but some of us should have lost our minds. In other words, you should have been crazy in a stiff jacket, but God kept you. Now, don't stand there like you did it all by yourself. It was the grace of God. So I want you to give him praise like you know it's God who kept you. Doctor said you should not be alive today. Do I have a witness? But here you are, not just alive, but thriving, basking in the goodness of God. I am trying to get myself settled. I'm so a little tipsy, not from drinking anything that you may think about, but I just sense the Spirit of God in this house to do what he does. Romans chapter 5. Let's go there. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We just want to take a word from there, just one word, but in order to get the essence of what we want to do today, I need you to read the whole verse. But just one word we want to get from there today. Romans chapter 5, you've been noticing that I've been sticking with the Amplified Version. Since it's the last Sunday, I'm not going to change with that. I'm going to stay with the Amplified Version. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 reads like this. It's on your screen, so if you don't have it in your Bible, we have it on the screen. Therefore, somebody say therefore. Now, I need to help you to understand that when you see the word therefore, it's a matter of conclusion. I've shown you a whole lot of things. Now I got to bring this home. And he says, therefore, seeing we have been justified. Somebody say justified. That is, acquitted of sin. Declared blameless before God. By faith, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God. And the joy of reconciliation with him through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. May God bless to our hearts the reading, the hearing, but most of all, the application of his word to our hearts and our lives. I want you to hold your neighbor's hand as we agree today that we are not only going to hear, but we will be receptive to the Word of God. Father, we are grateful, we are thankful that you have brought us together. And now that we are together, we just want to worship you. We want to praise you. We thank you for all the singing and the dancing. And we thank you for all the Spirit of God that's in this house. Thank you, Father. Now we pray that you will speak as only you can speak. In the name of Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Let the church say, amen. Now loose those hands and give the Lord praise as you take your seats. Bless the name of the Lord. You may be seated in the house of God. I want to lift up the theme, the sub-theme this morning, a fresh start. Somebody say, a fresh start. Oh, no, you're not excited. I want somebody to say with me, a fresh start. Amen. Now, I got a little humorous story that ties into the message, and I want you to listen to it very carefully. A drunk staggers out of a bar and runs right into two priests. He says, I am Jesus Christ. The first priest says, no, 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 son, you are not. The drunk turns to the other priest. I am Jesus Christ. The second priest replies, no, 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 son, you are not Jesus Christ. Well, so the drunk says, look, 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 I can prove it. I can prove that I am. He walks back into the bar with the two priests. The bartender takes one look at him and exclaims, Jesus Christ, you are back again. Some of you will get that later. Now, the drunk couldn't help going into the bar. There's a message here. I want to ask, is there anyone here who would like a fresh start? Is there anybody anywhere who would like to quit, to break, to stop, to kick, or drop something? Does anybody here have a sense that you need to change, that things must be different? Is there anybody here, I'm talking to you, is there anybody here who needs a change, who needs a brand new start? Your problem may not be drinking, it might be gossip. It might be gambling. It might just be procrastination. But whatever the situation is, I guarantee you that every one of us can take and use a new start, a fresh start, a new beginning. One of the greatest opportunities ever offered to man is the chance to start all over again. A fresh start. And the Bible refers to this as justification. Somebody said justification. Now, justification sounds like a big word, but it has tremendous weight as well. And the source of justification is grace, the amazing grace of God. Justification means to count someone righteous. Stay with me. It means to reckon, say reckon. It means to credit, to account, to judge, to treat, to look upon as righteous. It does not mean to make a man righteous. So what God is saying, that no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, and no matter how long you've been doing it, I am offering you a new start, a fresh start, a new beginning. I'm suggesting to you that you can begin again. I want to say to somebody here, somebody somewhere, that today can be the first day of the rest of your life. You can begin again. God can give you a fresh start. that may not mean much to some folk, but that is a whole lot to me. That every day of my life, God's blessings are new every day. Now, there are just three things I want to bring to your attention to this very vital subject of justification, which simply means that God offers us a new start. The first thing I want to bring to our minds is the need. Somebody say the need. Now, justification is necessary because of the sin and alienation of man. Man has rebelled against God and has taken his life into his own hands. Man lives as he desires, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye, clinging to the pride of life and to the things of this world. Man has become sinful and ungodly and an enemy of God, pushing God out of his life and wanting little, if anything, to do with God. Man has separated and alienated himself from God. Now you need to understand that God created us in his image and likeness. And you know the story. The Bible says that every day God will come down in the cool of the day and have fellowship with man. But something happened. Sin stepped in and separated man from God, man from man, and man even from himself. There's a need to be justified. Justification is also necessary because of the anger and wrath of God. Now, I know we know that God is loving and God is kind and God is gracious, but God is also a God of wrath and justice. The Bible says in Psalms 7 and 11, listen to this, that God is angry with the wicked every day. Sin has aroused God's anger and wrath. God is angry over man's rebellion, ungodliness, sin, hostility, and desertion. Man has turned his back upon God, pushing God away and having little or nothing to do with God. Man has not made God the center of his life. In fact, the Bible prophesied, and we see it all around us, in the last days, men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, proud, puffed up, heady, high-minded, you name it. And you don't have to look too far to see it. Just get a mirror. Come on now. We're not talking about them other people, we're talking about us. Just get a mirror, and you'll see how rebellious we have become. Therefore, the greatest need in man's life is to discover the answer to the question, how can the relationship between man and God be restored? How can we get back into a right relationship with God? How can we have peace with God? How can we know that God and us are together? How? That brings us to the second thing, and I'm not going to be before you very long, which is the offer. Somebody said the offer. Somebody said the offer. God, listen to this. This is nothing short of amazing grace. God justifies a man because of his son, Jesus Christ. When a man believes in Jesus Christ, God takes that man's faith. Listen to me. God takes that man's faith and counts it as righteousness. The man is not righteous in and of himself, but God considers and God credits the man's faith as righteousness. In other words, no matter what you have done, no matter how terrible it is, when you come to God in faith and confess your sins to God, God takes your faith in him, transforms it into righteousness, and says, you are clean. You have a fresh start. Somebody say, fresh start. Now, the question I have is why? Why would God be willing to do this? The truth is, I was the one who started the war. I was the one who rebelled against God. I was the one who turned against God. Why would God be willing to justify me? Why would God be willing to give me a fresh start when most folks won't even give me a thought? God is willing, listen to me, God is willing to justify me because he loves me that much. God loves me so much that he sent his son into the world and sacrificed him in order to justify me. In other words, God put his son on the line. The son died in my place so that I can go free. You ought to shout about that. I should have been the one nailed to the cross. I should have been the one crucified. But Jesus took my place on the cross. Why is God willing to do this for me? Well, God is willing to justify me because of what his son, Jesus Christ, has done for me. And I'm just going to let you know that Christ has secured the ideal righteousness for man. He came to earth to live a sinless and a perfect life. As man, he never broke the law of God. He never went contrary to the will of God, not even once. Therefore, Jesus stood before God, the perfect man, the representative man, the perfect righteousness that could stand for the righteousness of every man, so that when Jesus stood before God, I stood in him. So that when God looks at me, God does not see me. God sees the righteousness of Christ, and God declares me just as if I had never sinned. Oh, that is so wonderful. Now watch this. Jesus Christ came into the world to die for man. As the ideal man, he could have taken all of the sins of the world upon him, and that's what he did. And he died for every man. His death can stand for every man. He exchanged places with man by becoming sin for us. I want you to see the love and the compassion and the grace of God. He who knew no sin, he who is perfect and righteous, the Bible says he became sin for us. You need to get this because the Bible tells us that God cannot look upon sin. And so when you hear Jesus crying out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is when the whole world's sin was placed upon Jesus, and God, being righteous, could not stand to see it. But he did it for us. He did it for me. Jesus bore the wrath of God against sin. Jesus paid the penalty for sin, which is death. The very wrath of God, the penalty of sin, all came down on Jesus. And then that's not all. The Bible says he rose again. He conquered death. He died not only to save me, but also to guarantee that I will never be lost. Come on, somebody. You need to understand this. A judge or a governor may revoke a sentence, may revoke a conviction. But when God declared me righteous, Jesus not only died to do it, but he raised again to guarantee it. So that no matter what happens in my life, no matter how I turn, no matter how people put me down, God says, that's my child. I died for him. He is mine. He's righteous. He's glorious. And I love him. He took my place. Wow. As the ideal man. His resurrection and exaltation into the very presence of God stands as though I myself, in fact, am being resurrected. Here's what Paul says. No man lives, no man dies to himself. He says also, I am crucified with Christ. So when Christ died, I died. But that's not the end of the story. I rose when he rose. And the resurrected power of God dwells in me. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in me. And therefore, I have power to overcome everything and anything. I'm more than a conqueror, somebody. So not only do I have a fresh start, that fresh start can be sustained through the power of God. His resurrected life stands for my resurrected life. Now, as stated before, when a man believes in Jesus Christ, really believes, God takes that man's belief. And I want to reiterate, one, he counts it as the righteousness, perfection of Christ. The man is counted as righteous in Christ. Now, you don't get this. I want you to see this. Now, does it mean that I never mess up? Does it mean that I never go wrong? Let me see the hands of everybody, anybody here who dares to tell us that they have never and they do not ever say anything wrong. I dare you to stand. If you always have it together, stand. And I need to take a seat, but there's none up here. If you always get it right, if you always got it together, I want you to, did you hear what I asked you? If you always have it together, I want you to stand and testify. Exactly what I thought. Ain't nobody here can stand. Because the truth of the matter is, the difference between your sin and my sin, maybe mine might be public and yours secret. But the question is, secret to whom? Because darkness and light are the same to God. And by the way, here's what the scripture says. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesses his sin shall find mercy and pardon. What do you want? I'd rather get mercy and pardon. Watch this. When the man believes in God, when you believe in God, God counts it as the death of Christ. The man is counted as having already died in Christ. As having already paid the penalty for sin in death, in the death of Christ. But notice thirdly, as it counts not only for the death, but it also counts as the resurrection. The man is counted as already having kicked the habit, already dropped the habit, already broken the habit, already freed in Christ. You need to understand how much God loves you and how much God loves me. I'm speaking to somebody here or somewhere who has been written off by somebody. Society, even church, the religious society, has a way of writing people off. I want to submit that nobody has a right to write off anybody, because nobody else but God is able to save to the uttermost. I want to give you courage, my friend. Even though you may have been marginalized and extra size and ostracized and all the other sizes, I want you to know that God loves you. Come on, tell somebody God loves you. Talk to your neighbor. Tell him God loves you. Now turn to yourself and say, God loves me. Very simply, God loves his son so much that he honors, watch this, he honors any man or woman, boy or girl, who honors his son by believing on him. God wants to honor you today, whoever you are, by taking your faith in Christ and counting, crediting it as righteousness, and by giving you the righteousness, the glorious privilege of living with Christ forever in the presence of God. My question to you is, will you receive this offer? Finally, somebody say finally. Not only do I want us to look at the need, not only do I want us to look at the offer, but I want to really dig into this for a little while on the means. The means. Somebody say the means. Now, listen to me carefully and watch this. The word justify, from whence justification is derived, is a legal word. It's a legal term taken from the courts. Listen. It pictures a man on trial before God. Now, I want you to watch this. This man is on trial before God. This is no ordinary judge. This is somebody who truly knows the man. Man is seen as having committed the most heinous of crimes. He has rebelled against God and broken his relationship with God. The question in my mind is, how can he restore that relationship? Watch this. Look at the contrast and the comparison. With inhuman courts. Anybody here works for the court system? Anybody here been around courts? Anybody watch courts? Anybody know anything about courts? Okay. Now, with inhuman courts, if a man is acquitted, somebody say acquitted, he is declared innocent. Now, the way the law works, but most people don't work the way the law works. The way the law works is that you are innocent until proven guilty. But when you stand before God, you are what? Guilty and can never be proven innocent. So you're dead. Just understand it. You're dead. You are nothing. There's no argument. Scripture says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Not even the greatest judge can get you off, because he can't get off himself. Now, in human courts, when you are acquitted, you are declared as innocent. But this is not true within the divine court. When a man appears before God, he is anything but innocent. He is utterly guilty and condemned accordingly. So the truth of the matter is, not only should she, not only should he, but every single one of us, everywhere in all the world, are doomed. I want you to get this. This is how serious it is. There is none righteous. How many? No, not. I heard somebody say, well, I am the exception. Can I help you? Even if, and that's a stretch way beyond reality, even if you have never done anything wrong since you were born, truth of the matter is, you got to reverse and go back, because the Bible says you are born in sin. Not with sin, but in sin and shame. My God, shaped in iniquity. In other words, if you want a picture of iniquity, just pull my picture up. And in sin, Did my mother, anybody else, anybody here was born without a mother? Okay, that's what I thought, but I still have to check. You know, the world is crazy. But watch this. I just painted a bad, dark, hopeless picture, but I can't leave it there. Somebody say, but when a man sincerely trusts Christ, then God takes that man's faith and counts it as righteousness. But such God counts the man, judges the man, treats the man as if he is innocent, as if he had never done anything wrong. God gives him, her, a fresh start. Come on, take some time and give God praise. Let it sink in. Let it sink in. By such, God counts the man as though he had never done anything wrong. He knows it. He knows that he is guilty. And God knows it, but God treats him as innocent. God justifies the ungodly. That's an incredible mercy and a wondrous, amazing grace of God. As I bring this down, you say, Pastor, all that sounds good, but how do we know that God loves us that much to do all that? How can we know for sure that God is like this? And I'm going to say to you, it's because of what Jesus himself said. He said that God loves us. Anybody knows John 3:16? Can we say together, for God so loved the world, say it, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Turn to somebody and say, we are sinners. There's no good sinner or bad sinner. In fact, if you ask me if they were possible, some of the worst sinners are church people. Can't say amen, say ouch. Okay, let me try. This part of the church is too holy. Is it true that some of the worst sinners are church people? By the way, do you know who crucified Jesus? Huh? A church? No, I prefer to say religious people. There's a difference. What did Jesus say? I came not to call the self-righteous, but sinners unto repentance. This is the month of evangelism. This is the heart of evangelism. The heart of evangelism says every single one of us, including this preacher, deserve to die, deserve to go to hell, deserve to be punished. But because of the grace of God, I have been redeemed. I am a recipient of the grace of God. Hence, since I am now redeemed and since I am now saved, I need to reach out to brothers and sisters, men and women, boys and girls everywhere, and tell them that the same grace of God is available to you. So I do not look down on anybody. I look across and see somebody just like me, but for the grace of God. I want somebody here to understand. It's not about what you did, how bad you did it. It's who you are. You are a sinner. And unless Christ comes into your life, you will die even in church and go to hell. I know a whole lot of folk just turned me off right there. We don't talk about hell no more. We don't talk about sin no more. We don't talk about heaven no more. But God hasn't changed. Say we are sinners. Say we are. Okay, say I am a sinner. Yes. Say yes. Some of you can't say. You think you're that good. Say, I am a sinner. Yes. Everything the devil charges me for, I'm guilty. Everything your neighbor said about you is true. I just lost the whole church right there. Because you say, I didn't do that, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. It's not what you said, it's who you are. I'm messing with you because I want you to get off your high horse. I want you to get off your lazy laurels and reach other people, because that could have been you. And that could have been me. I keep saying to folks, if you see a fault, it's because there's a need. And the greatest need of man is to be justified, to be reconciled to God. That's why we act crazy. Point him to Jesus. Now, I can tell you, I wasn't always saved. And even after I was saved, I wasn't always mature. I recall, can I tell you this? So you don't feel that you're by yourself. I'm right there with you. There was a time, Minister Mitch, when I had gotten saved, and there were some people in the neighborhood who were disgusting. Anybody ever lived with disgusting neighbors? Evil neighbors. They're always picking on you, causing trouble. Now remember this, I was saved but not mature. And I was sincere. So I prayed, God, just kill him. Yeah, I did. He didn't follow my prayer, but I sure prayed. Now, y'all look at me like you never did that, Pastor. Y'all be ashamed of yourself. I know that was many years ago, but you still ought to be ashamed of yourself. You prayed to kill them. Some of you are older now, and you're still praying like that. But when God showed me, if I answer your prayer, you're in trouble. Because if you do not warn the wicked, I will recover and require their blood at your hand. Do you want them on your hand? So the best way to solve my problem, he said, pray again. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch them. From the top of the head to the sole of the feet, in the name of Jesus, save them. Because I know that if a man or a woman is truly saved, any man be in Christ is a brand new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. He will talk right, walk right, act right, be right, because he is right. Through the blood of Jesus. The reason that people act crazy is because they are crazy. Not in the sense that you think. But we are all sinners. That's what sinners do. I got to bring this home. In conclusion, I want you to hear, and I'll try not to comment, just to highlight and to ensure and reassure that God is what we say he is. I want you to hear the words of Scripture in Acts 13:9. And by him, all that believed are justified from things, all things. I need to read that one more time. And by him, all that believe are justified from some things. Whoa. I promise, I'm not going to comment on any other, but I want to show you something. God is saying, by Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified from all things. So no matter what I have done, murder, steal, cuss, work Obel, play the lottery, play the hold'em. God says, when I come to Jesus, I am justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Romans 3:23-24, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we who have believed in Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Give the Lord praise and glory in the house of God. Please stand to your feet. Reformation means that you stop doing certain things. And that's an outside-in job. Truth be told, some of you have been reformed. You no longer do some of the things that you used to do. That's not good enough. You need to be transformed. That is from the inside out. Some of you have said, I'm sorry. You weren't sorry for the sin. You're sorry that you were caught. Some of us here, and the truth of the matter is, at some point in our lives, all of us have made pledges to be better, only to find ourselves slipping back. Do I have a witness? Come on, raise your hand and be honest in the house of God. Even now, as a child of God, some of us may have pledged, Lord, I'm going to pray more. Lord, I'm going to read my Bible more. But the truth of the matter is, you have slipped right back into your laziness. But God says, listen, I hear you. I see you and I know you. And I love you. I want every head bowed. This is a serious moment in this house. A fresh start. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Let me talk with you for just a moment. First, I want to talk to those of us in this house who have never made a profession of faith in Christ. You are not saved. You're not born again. You're not transformed by the power of God. I'm going to ask you, if you are in this house, and by the way, if you are online, I cannot see you, but God can see you. I want you to lift your hand and say, Pastor, I need a fresh start. Would you lift your hand right now? Wherever you are, I see that hand. I see those hands. I see all those hands. Amen. Okay, let's move now to the believers. Even though you're justified by faith, you don't always see yourself the way God sees you. You keep putting yourself down. You keep being so hard on yourself. And God says, I loved you. When I freed you, I freed you. Your sins I remember no more against you forever. But you keep beating yourself up. And God is saying, just accept that the work I did for you on the cross was sufficient, it is sufficient, and will be sufficient. I'm going to call on us as believers. Fresh start. I don't care when you did it, how you did it. I don't care how many times you fail. You say, Pastor, in the name of Jesus, I want to start fresh. I want to pray more. I want to read the Bible more. I want to witness more. I want to share my faith more. Would you come? I'm not even going to ask you to lift your hand. And all those of you who lifted your hand as desiring to know Christ, and nobody knows the difference, then that's not their business. But you need to come because you need a fresh start in one way or the other. Please come. Keep come. And let the church keep praying. Fresh start. This is like no other start. This is a start that is sustainable because we are kept by the power of God. Some of you say, I will trust Jesus, but I don't want to backslide. I don't want to mess up. Well, when I come in, I'll come in for good. I hear you. That's good intention, but you can't do it by yourself. That's why the grace of God. Would you come join all of us around this altar as we get ready to pray? We need a new beginning. We need a fresh start. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that though we deserved, like that drunk, to be condemned, he couldn't stay out of the bar. Tried as he may, he was addicted. He was hooked. He was trapped. He was shackled. Show us, Lord, that we are no exception. We all struggle with something that binds us, that besets us. But in the name of Jesus, we declare that the chains are broken. our minds are liberated. We are free indeed. Thank you for your justification. You look at us. You do not see us. You see Christ in us. And you declare us righteous. So indeed we are changed from sinners to saints, from lost to saved. And it doesn't matter what people say, as your word says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? They will call us name, and sometimes we may even be guilty, but as far as you are concerned, we are free. We are free. We are free in the name that is above every name. Let the church say amen. Come on, give him praise.